Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, we're here with the 57th episode of the Golf Podcast. Now, last episode, we had a great interview with Kyle Alderink. I'm not going to get into too much detail about, you know, everything we talked about was primarily with practice and things like that, but it was one of our longer episodes because we covered so much great content. We had a lot of great tips from Kyle. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, definitely go back and check it out. This week, we're going to talk about three simple ways to increase your club head speed. Mike, I think that's something that everybody wants to do, right?
Yeah, everyone wants those extra yards, you know, whether it's that they think it's hitting the weight room or swinging out of their shoes. We're going to cover it all today. So it's a pretty, important topic.
Absolutely. And this one is really front and center for me right now because honestly, it's not something that I usually spend a lot of time on. I'm more working on focusing on consistency in different areas and things like that. But being the cold weather, I was back in the simulator, actually first time swinging the club in about 2 months, unfortunately, because I've been a little bit busy. But back in the simulator, and one thing that you get there that you don't get on the course, and we talked way back a few episodes, you know, probably last year, about the benefits of, you know, playing in a golf simulator. If you've never done it before, I encourage you to try it. But one thing that stats pop up right in your face, you know, after your swing, and one of them is club head speed. And I think when you see it, it becomes a little more daunting, and you're like, what can I do to get a little bit more? And I noticed one big thing, and we'll jump into it in a second. One thing that felt weird, but you had to kind of try it, was just this concept of not swinging hard, but swinging fast. I know it's almost like splitting hairs, the two, you know, different words, hard versus fast, but I'll explain it more in a minute. But Mike, where I was at, I was noticing with my driver, I was consistently right around, you know, high 80s, low 90s as far as club head speed goes, at least how this thing was measuring it. Now, it's probably not as accurate as the stuff the pros are using and the TrackMan and stuff like that, but it's pretty good in the lasers and the floor and however it measures your club head speed. Have you measured your club head speed much before?
Yeah, you know, only in the simulator, especially, you know, when I've tested new clubs, when I compare drivers and three woods and I wanted to see which one I get a little bit more out of. But, you know, I mean, what are the pros about off the tee? 103, 104, 105, up to about 110, 115. That's like their range.
Yeah, I think some of the biggest on tour are like Rory and obviously Bubba, but I think Rory's around 120.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw, I mean, I love the fact that we're into the season now. And I watched the whole Hyundai Tournament of Champions, and there was this 326-yard par four. And every time Bubba got up to it, he just swung out of his shoes to try to reach the green. And he kept coming up like 5 yards short every time. But it looked like he was violently swinging through the ball. But, you know, he wasn't really over swinging, which is like, you know, it's something when we try to hit the ball harder, we try to overswing, and that's where all the problems happen. He's hitting it dead straight, 320 yards.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's violently swinging it. So, you know,
again. Well, one thing I will say is for any of the younger guys listening to this show just starting out, and if you're going to find a swing to replicate, don't let it be Bubba's, because the fancy footwork he's got going on to make that thing work is ridiculous. Now, if you do want to really study a swing, it takes a ton of flexibility, a ton of strength, and we're going to get into both of those in a second. But Rory McIlroy's, I mean, he's, you know, how much shorter is he than Bubba? And he's generating some tremendous club head speed. In fact, what I'm going to get into more about, we talk about the, you know, the muscles versus, you know, just the technique. How many guys you see on tour who are small guys, you know, they weigh maybe 150 pounds soaking wet, under 6 foot, and they're blasting the ball 300 yards. You know, a lot of it has to do with timing, but also, again, coming back to this club head speed. But one thing I can tell you is it's not something that you should necessarily obsess over, you know, chasing more and more club head speed. You want to balance that speed versus control. But if you can gain a little bit of speed, it can really, the effects can be pretty dramatic. I think what they said is for every 1 mile an hour additional club head speed, I'm talking about with your driver here, is a gain of anywhere from 3 to 5 yards, which can be tremendous. So if you think about it, and that's where we talk about the difference between amateurs swinging about anywhere in those high 80s, you know, low 90s, 95 mile an hour club head speed with the driver versus 110, 115, 120. It's not a tremendous difference, but it does make a difference, you know, overall. And one other thing that I can say is that as far as getting a little bit more distance off the tee, if you can get that extra 15, 20 yards, you're going to be hitting much, shorter clubs into greens. You're going to end up seeing yourself hitting more greens in regulation. So, you know, let's get right into it. You know, talking about that first concept, the swinging hard versus swinging fast. So many people, I'm very guilty of it. I was starting to do this, Mike, when I was in the simulator, just trying to get a little bit more speed. I noticed that I was trying to swing harder. In other words, involving more big muscles. And what I noticed is that I was gripping the club tighter, my forearms were tighter, and what I actually saw was a decrease on the simulator in my club head speed when I was doing that, and also a dramatic decrease in my accuracy, you know, slicing and everything else when I was trying to swing like that, because it's almost counterintuitive. When you want to swing, you know, so to speak, you know, faster, a lot of us make that translation harder and we do all those types of things. You know, we put a stronger grip on it and we just really, you know, try to power through it. But the problem is that your big muscles are not meant to have a lot of speed in that way. And also the tighter that you're getting, especially in your forearms, you're not able to turn that club over and really release it, which is what creates that whip, that whoosh effect, which we're going to talk about in a second. So, you know, I know, Mike, I know you can relate to this. I've even seen you try before. Remember there was that one green that you had driven the green a few times and then you get back up to it and you're like, the second you want to do that again, you like kind of grip it tighter and you try to rip it and it doesn't go as far.
You know? Yeah. I mean, some of my longest drives came from just slowing down everything, which, you know, you think about that, how is that possible? You know, and then those times where I get up there, like you said, and try to do it again, you're right. I grip it hard. I change everything about the swing and that's where everything else goes wrong.
Right. So if you take one thing away from this, I always like to think about that one takeaway that you can do out of this. Everything we're going to talk about today is if you can just change that mindset, forget trying to swing hard, try to swing a little faster. And you'll start to notice that in order to swing faster, you actually need to loosen things up. You need to loosen up that upper body. And you'll start to see that the speed is not generated by pushing that club through with your upper arms or anything like that. It's a lot of that speed is generated, again, from that hip turn, from the torque and the tension that you build up with your backswing and just your fundamentals of coming through it. That's why it seems almost like you're swinging slower, but in reality, it's just a smoother swing. It's a smoother transition at the top. Everything kind of smooths out and you're able to do it. So first things first, getting into that idea of that whoosh. The whoosh, we hear people talk about this a lot, is that's the sound the club makes when it moves through the ball. I actually had a lesson last winter, and a pro brought this to my attention. And one quick, easy exercise he had me do is to pick up an alignment stick instead of a club, because it's longer and you can kind of just hear it when it goes through the wind. And just swing that and just listen where you hear that whoosh sound. Another easy thing you can do if you don't have an alignment stick is just turn your club around. So you're holding the driver down by the head and you're swinging the shaft. And just listen for the whoosh that goes through it. And then just notice, take a couple types of swing. When does the whoosh get louder? You know, swinging it, you know, taking your swings and try the same thing I'm saying. Try, you know, gripping it tight and swinging hard. And then back off and try loosen everything up and just swing fast and see, is it a louder sound? If so, that means that that club or that alignment stick is traveling through the air faster. And it's a quick way to gauge what is my club head speed. The other thing too is just matching that whoosh with the right moment. If you're swinging and you're hearing that whoosh sound way back in your swing, you realize that you're maxing out your club head speed behind, you know, before you hit make contact with the ball and you're actually slowing down. So you're losing a lot of that momentum, that forward energy. Likewise, if you hear the whoosh afterwards, it means you're not fully accelerating to the ball. We see this a lot too. Actually, this is something that the instructor had pointed out to me on the LPGA tour, where again, same type of thing. A lot of these women, they're not, you know, made of muscle, yet they're out driving us by a long way. And a lot of that is because they've got that just down pat, that whoosh. You can actually, if you turn up your TV, you can kind of hear it when some of these guys tee, you know, some of these gals tee off. It's just whooshed at just the right time, right when they're making contact with the ball. So they're maximizing that club head speed at just the right time. So it's not only just generating more club head speed, it's maximizing it at the right time. Mike, have you ever tried the whoosh drill?
Yeah, in fact, that's what I was taught when I took a series of lessons. It was the first thing he told me. Turn the club around. Let's work on the whoosh. Find out where that sound is happening. Make sure it happens at impact. And then from this point on, I usually start a range session with, you know, 10 or 12 of those just to not only loosen up the muscles, but to kind of get into the groove of that kind of swing pattern. So it's very helpful.
Yeah, and I just like that audible feedback that you can get from it, and you can really get that feel. So that's one thing you can try. And again, try it with that swinging hard mindset versus swinging fast and see what the difference is, because there is a difference. It may seem like just verbiage, but there is a difference there. The second tip we have is just fix your grip. Grip actually has a lot more to do with club head speed than you might think. Obviously, it has a lot to do with just about everything. It's one of the most important fundamentals. You know, anything with impact problems, slices, hooks, whatever, a lot of it can stem from the grip, but also can club head speed. Again, pressure is one of the things, and also where and how you're gripping the club. Now, we go into extensively in the Golficity Golf Academy, we have an entire lesson on grip with all the different grips and the strong grip, the weak grip, and all that. So I'm not going to get too in depth with this, but if that, you know, if this is something you're working on by yourself or working on with your instructor, and we've got a great, I'm going to link in the show notes to an article where we have got a great video there that talks about this correlation between the two. But the most important thing to understand with it is that if you don't have the proper grip, you're not going to be able to turn that club over. And if you can't turn the club over, you're going to create a problem with your hands and arms interfering with each other and limiting that club head speed that you can create. Because don't forget, on that swing down, your hands and your arms have to roll over in order to turn the club face and square it up with the ball. If your, you know, grip is too strong or too weak and you're not able to create that turn, you're going to be limiting, you know, physically limiting with your body how you're able to get through the ball. So what you can see is when you see these pros who have that really higher club head speeds, they're much looser in their upper body, their arms, everything is fluid, and their grip is neutral enough and the pressure in their grip is enough that they can, you know, swing through it much quicker. I mean, this goes way back. I mean, Ben Hogan used to talk about, you know, gripping the club, you know, how soft you grip the club, almost like just barely holding onto it. It's for that reason, so that you're able to turn it over much quicker. Mike, do you work more with a strong grip or a weak grip or neutral? How do you grip the club?
It's pretty much neutral. I don't have any of the fancy, you know, lock in the thumb interlocking. It's like a basic baseball swing grip, and it stays the same every time. I mean, I probably should have a pro evaluate my grip, because I bet, you know, there's a great chance that I'm not, you know, gripping my club right. And maybe that's a difference between a few strokes, maybe a difference between getting some more yardage. So if that's, I have three things on my list that when I start to take lessons this spring, that's one of the things that I'm going to have the pro analyze, change, you know, review, comment on, whatever. And, you know, because I think I'm really giving a lot up there at the grip, because nobody ever thinks about the grip.
Well, and you know what? The thing too is, I think part of the reason why a lot of people don't think about it is because they learned it early, or they did what they felt was comfortable. And it's that dread of changing it, because it is one of the hardest things to change. Once you're comfortable with the grip, it is very hard. But one thing that I will say, and one simple kind of change you can do is just a change in mindset, in that just bring a little bit more awareness to your grip, especially on the tee box, and especially on those times when you are thinking you want to get a little bit more distance. Just try to notice if you're subconsciously changing your grip a little bit, because I can tell you that one of the biggest things that most people do is that they'll just kind of go into a little bit of a stronger grip position, which for righties would be turning your right wrist, you know, to the right a little bit further and behind the club. So you're creating that strong grip. And a lot of that is because you're kind of subconsciously gearing up again that idea of pushing through the ball. So you, if you find yourself doing that, at least bring your attention to it and go back to your regular grip, because anytime you change your grip in order to make a swing, you're increasing your chances that you're going to be creating a problem, and then you're going to actually lose club head speed, lose accuracy, all those things. So fixing your grip long term, that would be, you know, the best possible thing. Short term, just identify when you're subconsciously making those changes. And then our third and last tip would be just generally improving your fitness. Now, we've seen a couple things. Like, we've seen guys like Rory on tour. I know we're talking to him about him, but he seems to be the one who's getting the most coverage right now, because he's in that, sitting in that coveted number one spot. But he really bulked up quite a bit. We see that, but what I don't want to create the wrong impression here. Bulk is not necessary in this case. We see some of these guys on tour who are, again, skinny guys, not traditionally what you think of a lot of bulk, and they're putting out, you know, 300 yard drives consistently. And a lot of that comes from, again, the torque that we build up and the different muscles that you want to use. And don't forget too, with Rory, although he's built up a lot of upper body mass and bulk, he's still one of the most flexible guys on tour. I mean, when they break down his swing and look at it in slow motion, the turn that he's able to get with his upper body without having to twist his hips too far, I mean, creating that tremendous amount of torque, is phenomenal. There's not a lot of guys who can turn the way he can turn. So generally, when you talk about improving your fitness, simple things that can help would be, you know, elastic workout band. You could do some basic torso exercises like tubing punches, the wood chop. These are things you can do with an exercise and with an elastic exercise band. It'll cost you almost nothing. You could do it right at your home. On the video, on the article that I'm going to link to, has videos of these and video demonstrations of how to do this. But simple stuff, more for those muscles that help with the twisting motion. Another thing that really helps can be swinging a weighted golf club. And I think personally, for me, it's not necessarily for the reasons you might think of, you know, there is some peripheral building of muscles, but the idea that I like with swinging a weighted golf club is it forces you more so to feel the muscles that are being affected during your swing. So swinging, you know, nowadays we've got some incredibly light clubs. Some of these drivers are like a featherweight. So you almost don't even feel them when you're swinging them. And you don't realize all the time all the different muscles that are engaged. Anatomy, this is where I'm not going to be able to tell you, I mean, as far as each muscle that is, but have you ever had that feeling, Mike, where you, when you swing a weighted club, you can kind of feel it more in different places?
Oh yeah, of course. And you know, I think, I mean, this is probably my favorite, you know, of the 3 points we're talking about tonight, because I mean, right now, Frank, I'm transforming my own body. You know, it's what's today. It's the 14th of January, 2015. And basically what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to lose 20 pounds before the golf season. I'm already down 5, but I'm doing it in a way that, I'm incorporating all different types of flexible yoga type activities, not only for my personal, you know, well-being and health. I mean, that's key, but I want to be more flexible on the golf course. And I'm pretty certain that after losing those 20 pounds, and I'm not a heavy person to begin with, you know, but by getting down to a reasonable weight, I think that I'll be able to, you know, drive the ball much further. I've been locked in at 260 yards off the tee with my driver for the past 2 years. I'm 32 years old. And, you know, I think that I can easily get that up to 285, 290. I definitely can. I definitely have the ability to do that. And I'm curious to see come April, when I'm down those 20 pounds and when I'm more flexible and when I adjust my grip, maybe, I'm pretty confident that I will get there. You know, I met Ricky Fowler at the Barclays. I stood next to him and I talked to him for a bit. The guy's 5'8". He's the same height as me and he's 154 pounds.
Yeah.
I got about 20 pounds, 25 pounds on him right now, and he hits the ball about 310 yards every single time off the tee. So, you know, it's all about that torque. It's all about that flexibility, and improving fitness is probably the most important in my opinion.
Right. And look at the extreme end of it. I was just watching the other day a replay of this past year's long drive championship. Mm-hmm. None of those guys are bodybuilders, you know, but the flexibility is tremendous. So anything you can do to increase that, especially that, anywhere from, I'd say, the hips to, you know, mid, lower torso both mobility, flexibility, and strength is going to help you. I mean, you could do it as simple as I said, taking one of those elastic workout bands, tying it to a doorknob, and just doing some twists with resistance and just kind of building those small muscles up a little bit. But again, it's a lot of it comes from not from necessarily from the bulk, but from being able to engage those muscles at the right time with that nice mix of flexibility. And it can be done because like you said, we're seeing it done by guys who are, you know, smaller, and they're able to generate that more speed, because all it is at the end of the day is physics. It just comes down to the faster that club head is traveling through the ball, the further it's going to go. I mean, it's flat and simple, that easy. It's not that concept that you're, when you smack it a long way, that you're pushing it through with your biceps and these big muscles that you're used to generating the most power with. It's that when you create that whipping, that long whipping motion, and get just letting that club do the work, that's when you're going to generate the real club head speed. That's when you're going to get the distance you want. And that's going to make your game better, because you're going to be, as I said, approaching greens from shorter distance. So that's everything I have to cover on it. Mike, do you have anything else you want to add?
I just got to say, Frank, I think this is our year. I think 2015, you and I are going to have a fantastic golf season, because we've got all these great little pearls of wisdom. And I know we're going to be working hard off the offseason. You and I are in the simulator this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yep.
Yeah, that should be fun. You know, kind of work out some kinks, maybe focus on some club head speed, and, you know, kind of have fun while we're in there. But, you know, I'm kind of stoked. I mean, I heard this recently. I don't remember who the pro was. I'm blanking on the name, but one of the PGA pros at the PGA Superstore over here said that there's one particular pro, I don't know if it was Ben Hogan, I can't remember, but every year, and this guy has won majors, he's won PGA Tour events, every year at the beginning, or I should say in the off season, he goes back to his coach and he tells his coach to break down everything about his swing, swing, grip, stance, just kind of start over from scratch. And, you know, that's kind of what I'm going to do every season. I kind of want to evaluate everything that's going on and focus on, you know, the weaknesses, and really go into the season, you know, on a strong note and kind of really get in good physical shape. Because, you know, this game, a lot of people don't think about the fitness part. And like you said, they don't think about the grip. So those are two things I'm really going to focus on.
That's what it's all about. And I'm in the same boat as you are, just those small strides each season, getting a little bit better. You know, it requires obviously getting out there, and it's been a tough year for that with the baby and everything this year. And I've been a little bit, you know, getting out there less, but what both of us have seen, I know, what would you say, Mike, on your average score has come down anywhere from 4 to 5 strokes each season over the last 3 seasons or so?
Definitely.
Yeah. And I'm in the same way. And last season I hit that milestone where I broke 80 for the first time. That felt great. I noticed my scores were starting to shoot right on that cusp each time. So I'm not trying to set any crazy goals for myself to be, you know, in the low 70s, you know, every single round or whatever, but just to be able to know that I can, you know, start breaking 80 consistently, that's going to make me happy for next season.
But Frank, let me ask you a question, because this is going to blow some people's minds. In the last 3 seasons, I've seen your score, I think, 20 strokes off your game. I mean, how many lessons have you taken in the last 3 years? Honestly.
I've taken just the one.
So everything that we talk about, everything that we write about on the site, everything that, you know, we discuss on these podcasts, you're taking all this stuff and you're going out there and you're actually doing it. And look, I mean, you're improving.
Yeah. And you know what? That's exactly right. I actually just saw, I think it was on Instagram or something, someone had put together one of those inspirational things, but it was so right. And it said that there's no shortcuts. There are no quick fixes in golf. There's just practice and focus. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, and just through talking about this each week, each time going back and saying, these are the things that we're going to approach, these are the things we're going to work on, understanding, and like we've talked about with so many different interviews on the show with different sports psychologists and golf professionals and golf teachers and everything else, what it really comes down to is them all saying that same type of thing. This is a game that you have to really enjoy the process of improving instead of always trying to chase the result, you know? And if you do that, you're going to start to see it. Like we said, the steady progression where your game is just getting better and better. Of course, you and I have a great resource in that, you know, doing this with Golficity, we're able to, you know, constantly be thinking about researching and practicing and everything the game. But anyone can do that. You know, you can go out there, you can make that time commitment, like we said, to go to the range, you know, once or twice a week when you're there. Like we talked about, I don't remember, it was just a couple episodes ago, pretty recent, episode 54. We talked about getting more out of your range session. We talked last week with Kyle Alderink about the importance of effective practice. So it can be done. You know, instead of trying to chase, like, what's the next quick tip I can do that's going to all of a sudden gain me 20 yards off the tee, it's not that. It's these little things. It's this concept of learning the progressions, learning the fundamentals, and just getting better and better at those. So that's where I've been. I know that's where you've been, Mike, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Excellent. Can't wait.
Yeah. So looking forward to Saturday morning in the simulator. Let's see if we can get we were only able to squeeze in 1 hour because they were pretty book solid. Let's see if we can get 18 in an hour. We're going to have to really be moving.
Yeah, I think we could do it. I mean, if not, I mean, if we get 15, 16 holes in, I think that'll be a good day.
In an hour at our usual rounds at the municipal course, we'd get what, like 4 holes in?
Yeah, exactly.
If we were lucky. So, all right. So that's everything we have. Check us out on the web at golfissity.com. You can get all the show notes of everything we've talked about today by going to golfissity.com/episode57. As always, you can connect with us on Twitter, YouTube, email us directly at podcast@golfissity.com. There's a lot of different ways you can get in touch with us. We love hearing the different things that you guys are working on. Especially I think my favorite email to get still, Mike, is when people just let us know what things they've taken from previous shows and been able to put into their game and seen some improvement. You know, a couple guys have talked about just, you know, saving a couple strokes here and there by applying some of these concepts. That's by far is my favorite. How about you?
Yeah, those are great. You know, I mean, you come in, you check your email, and you got a fan of the shows just saying, hey, I took that tip about this, and, you know, I shaved a couple of strokes off here, and I shot my best score the other day because of this. And, you know, we love them. Keep them coming and keep practicing. It kind of, you know, what fuels us to keep doing this.
Absolutely. So as I said, check us out on the web at golfissity.com. Keep those coming and we'll be back again shortly. We got a lot of interviews going to be lined up for this year. We've got a lot more tips coming your way. And in between, I definitely encourage you to check out the Golfissity Academy. Tons and tons of great content there. Like I said about the grip today and all the different fundamentals are covered there, and that's always growing with new lessons and new courses. So definitely check that out. So we'll be back again soon. And until then, enjoy it. Hopefully you're out there and not as cold as we are. But if you are, get in the simulator, let us know how it's going, and definitely send us an email. We'll talk to you soon.